This morning, HBR's Ku'uwe Hiraishi joins us to talk about a new book entitled Nā Wahine Koa. Morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
What's this all about?
Nā Wahine Koa, so the courageous women or the strong women. This is a look at the female leadership that popped up during the Hawaiian Renaissance of the 1970s. So got to go to the book release at Kawaiwai on Friday and actually meet some of these aunties. So Auntie Maxine Kahaule Leo, some of these names may be familiar to folks. Terry Kekoolani Raymond, Loretta Reedy. They were all sort of either on the front lines of protests, so evictions at Kalama Valley or those unsanctioned landings of Koho'olawe in the late 1970s, all in sort of fighting the land struggles that were going on at the time. This is a look at very unique female leadership role during that time. So
that's great that the book came out this year, because this is the year of the Hawaiian, right?
This is the year of the Hawaiian, and I think in speaking to the women themselves, hearing a lot about that national dialogue surrounding the Me Too movement and sort of female empowerment in general, and it wasn't timed out that way. This has actually come from years of collecting oral histories of these women and what they've done in their respective roles throughout the last 50 years, because some of them are still named in lawsuits against TMT and Mauna Kea, also against the fight over at Pohakuloa training area. So they are all still involved, which was nice to see, you know, these spunky 80-year-old, 70-year-old women talking about fighting the man. But I got to speak to Noilani Goodyear Ka'opua. So she's an indigenous politics professor up at UH Manoa. She helped sort of bring the book together and edited the book. But for the most part, it is firsthand accounts from these women of their journey in trying to figure out how to be a leader for their communities, for their families, for their husbands. So this is Noi sort of talking about what drove her to bring this book together.
Coming across so many young people who know the names of people like Walter Riddy and George Helm and Kimo Mitchell and Emmett Aluli, and they're completely important and their names should be known, but they don't know the names of the women who were on these same landings of Koho'olawe and have been active in political life to this day. So the people like Auntie Loretta and Auntie Terry and Auntie Maxine, Auntie Moani. And that's really a driving force behind why I wanted to work on this project, because I feel like all of their names, all of their stories should be known.
Under-celebrated was the word that Goodyear Ka'opua had used to sort of describe what she started to see as a professor up at UH teaching the history of Hawaiian activism on campus. But so this Koho'olawe, for folks who aren't familiar, was possibly the peak or the pinnacle of the entire Hawaiian Renaissance movement. And this was at a time when Koho'olawe was still an active bombing arranged by the U.S. used by the U.S. Navy. And folks like Walter Reedy, George Helm, and Emmett Aluli snuck in and got onto the island. They landed on the island along with some of these women, all of these women, in fact, that are profiled in this book. At one point had landed on Koho'olawe in the 70s as part of their sort of the beginning of them joining the movement. So that would, you know, when they landed, the U.S. Navy had to stop because they had to get them off. And sometimes they would occupy them for days on end and then they'd have to look for them. So it was the beginning of sort of demilitarization, I guess, for that movement.
I remember covering the day at Iolani Palace when they transferred the land over.
That's
and
right.
I think John Osorio was singing his famous song, and the governors were sitting on the front seat. And I remember I looked over and there was, you know, Governor Abercrombie and Governor Lingle. I know, you know, she was shedding a tear. It was just very emotional for lots of folks that were sitting there.
It was, and I think a lot of these women talk about how getting involved and getting active was really something that helped them heal in their own respective journeys. But got to speak to Auntie Maxine Kahaulelio, who just turned 80 this year, still spunky as ever. But she talks a little bit about another role that she's seen for women. You know, it wasn't just being on that front line and being outspoken, but it was making sure that you're taking care of your family and the power that you have to create generational change by raising kids. And this is her talking about that.
But being a Wahine, can you imagine our bodies? Can you imagine what we hold? We hold the foundation of success. How in the world did God pick us to give birth to a baby? How? But he knew our bodies were as powerful, powerful as the most deadliest storm, because we could take the pain. And that, to me, Navahinikoa is taking that pain. So I'm very, very proud to be called Wahine, the woman of strength.
So Goodyear Ka'opua talks a little bit about how this activism, like I mentioned earlier, was a healing practice for a lot of these women. And Auntie Maxine in particular had a very good story about that.
That activism can be a healing practice. That a lot of times people think of activists as angry. But what their stories really highlight for me is how it's a healing for them. Auntie Maxine says, you know, she put her hand up to go to Kaho'olawe, and this was when she was a single mom raising five kids and a grandchild on her own, struggling for welfare rights, and she said, I'm going to go to Kaho'olawe. And these are the kinds of things that saved her, that healing the relationship between Kanaka and Aina, between people and land, between ourselves and our own bodies, you know, healing the violences in our communities, all those things are connected, and that organizing each other, standing up, rising up, having your voice out there is part of the healing process.
So it's the book itself is actually looks like a scrapbook. So if anybody gets their hands on it, there are pictures of these women in their struggles at the time with their kids in isolated valleys, trying to figure out what to do. It's a really interesting sneak peek into that time.
I remember the picture of Moani Akaka on the cover of another book, also tracing the origins of the Hawaiian Renaissance movement, Gary Kubota's book.
Yes.
And that was just released recently. So nice to have this back-to-back.
Exactly.
Release.
I think everybody's thinking about it. A lot of political activism going on in our communities right now, and looking back at this and what they've done is telling.
So it's nice to have that framework as we close out the year of the Hawaiian.
Exactly. Good point.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks, Catherine.
That was HPR's Ku'uwehi Hiraishi. To find her stories, check out hawaiipublicradio.org.